I think we're about ready to get underway. My name is Moses Bouchel, and I am a reporter with State Impact Texas and KUT Radio. In a strange way, when we talk about fracking now, we're almost just talking about drilling. And that's not to say it's not different, because it is. But 9 of 10 new wells that are drilled in the country are frack wells. And it's a technology that has allowed the state to kind of create this new boom that's really transformed a lot of the state. And so with that in mind, I introduce our panelists. Senator Carlos Uresti from San Antonio. He represents District 19. It stretches along the Texas-Mexico border, and it is, of course, part of the Eagle Ford Shale Formation, where there's been such a dramatic transformation in so much of that region and in places that were once small towns that are now these kind of booming drilling towns. To his left, we have Representative Phil King from District 61, a Republican representative from Weatherford, Texas, first elected in 1998, and is in the region north of us in the Barnett Shale play, if I'm not mistaken. Right. Next, we have Senator Rodney Ellis, Democratic senator from District 13 in Houston, a senator since 1992. You've authored a large number of bills already this session alone. I counted over 57 authored or co-authored on the bill counter, and many of them pertaining to these issues we're going to be addressing tonight. Finally, Van Taylor, state representative, Republican from District 66 from Plano. And he started in the House in 2010, so relatively new compared to our other guests here, and serves on the Insurance Committee and the Government Efficiency and Reform Committee. To begin with, if you could, in just a few minutes, tell me what you're hearing when you go back to your districts and talk to your constituents about how drilling has changed their lives, has impacted your districts. And I'll start with you, Senator Rist.
So what I'm hearing as I tour my district and I drive through those what were once small towns and counties, is it's exciting. I mean, there are a lot of opportunities. What you read about on the front page of the paper is true. And I know a couple of years ago there was some doubt as to whether this was the real thing, how long would it last, was it a 5-year deal, 10-year deal, et cetera. And it is the real thing. And so there are, I like to say, some challenging opportunities that exist down there, primarily because of the infrastructure, or the lack thereof, I should say, that doesn't exist, because nobody expected this to happen, literally overnight.
Representative Taylor.
I'll make sort of a broader comment about what's going on in Texas. In 2009, Texas was producing around 1 million barrels a day, a little bit more. We, 1 million barrels per day. In November, which is like the last number we have the Railroad Commission, we were producing 2.1 million barrels a day. So we've almost doubled in about 2 or 3 years. So it's just an incredible increase in production in Texas. And to give you an idea about where Texas is relative to the rest of the country, the second largest oil producing state, North Dakota, is only producing 650,000 barrels a day.
So I want to open this up talking about something that we haven't seen much legislative action on so far, but something that we've heard a lot about in our reporting. And that is water, and not water in the way that some of you might be thinking. We hear a lot about water. You know, there is an ongoing kind of discussion over potential for contamination of water with drilling. But here in Texas, another concern we have is water use, just the fact that hydraulic fracturing can take so much water. We were at the Texas Ag Water Forum. It was just yesterday or the day before, and the Deputy Executive Administrator for the Texas Water Board, Carolyn Britton, said, she pointed out that only about 1% of our state's water supply is used in this process. But then she went on to say that in local areas, in some areas where there isn't much water, it actually comprises a huge amount of the local water supply. And she said the Water Board is starting to even see agricultural users selling their irrigated water supply to drillers, instead, you know, because they can make more money rather than investing in agriculture. That's used to illustrate a point, which is, is there concern, do you think, about water use in this process? And if so, is there any role for lawmakers to play in that? Senator Ellis.
I think you could look at our water usage and compare it to, say, Pennsylvania. And they're probably doing a bit better job of using recycling water, using brackish water. So I think there are lessons we could learn. In the water bill that comes out, there may be some discussion about it. I think most of us would prefer that industry do it. And in some ways, industry may do it for fear of us doing it.
So let's move on to another issue that maybe there's a stronger role for the legislature to at least I've talked to a lot of lawmakers who want to talk about it, and that is roads. You have a bill that proposes to help rural counties in terms of the road damage that's caused through drilling activities. And I should explain maybe to the audience here, this is damage that's caused these roads through heavy trucking and all the kind of related activities that are related to oil and gas drilling. It's not the actual, necessarily the drilling itself. The estimate is that it costs about $80,000 to repair a mile of serious roadway to accommodate these big trucks that go in. What's your thinking about this?
Well, my bill, Senate Bill 300, would dedicate monies from the Rainy Day Fund. And if you don't know, the Rainy Day Fund monies come from the severance tax, which is a result of the oil and gas that comes out of the ground. So for every barrel of gas that comes out, a severance tax is paid to the state of Texas, which goes into our Rainy Day Fund, which is the reason why we have $8.5 billion in our, what we also call our savings account. So what my bill would do would dedicate some of those funds. Several different options is what we're proposing, but one option is a one-time funding of approximately $400 million to fix the county roads in those different counties, like DeWitt County, for example. Not the state highways, but the county roads. And this is where you'll see these trucks, the water trucks that we were talking about, heavy equipment, et cetera, going back and forth. And those county roads were built, some of them were built 30, 40, 50 years ago, and certainly were not built to carry 80,000 pounds of weight. And of course, depending on the rain, et cetera, they're just falling apart. And so our bill, again, we're working with Senator Hagar and others to try to get those funds dedicated for one-time funding, but also develop perhaps a long-term dedicated stream of funding to maintain those roads for the years to come.
I was just going to make a point about the Rainy Day Fund. You know, for the last two sessions, it was sacrosanct. It was like the Holy Grail. And you couldn't touch it. And it is amazing how easily that discussion has changed. Now, from my vantage point, I'm open to everything. But I will say, during our other great energy booms in this state, people in East Texas, the counties, had to pay for those roads when we were bringing it out the old-fashioned way. You know, in some ways, one can make the argument or the discussion will be held, should you let the money come from where the money went? So if those industries that benefited from that, they may have to pay for it.
Well, I'll just throw in, I grew up in Midland, Texas in the 80s. And in fourth grade, my mom said, I'm going to take you see something you'll never forget. And I've never forgotten it. And that was a run on a bank. And people lined up around the block. And I saw a real economic crisis. In 1982, 10% of the Rolls Royces sold in the United States were sold in Midland, Texas, population of 100,000. Wow. That Rolls-Royce dealership was done and gone in 1984. And so my message is the music stops. You know, the Rainy Day Fund is flush, and people are eyeing it and saying, hey, you know, let's think about spending for this or that. But at the end of the day, the revenue stream that brought the Rainy Day Fund to where it is, at some point, all that production leads to a drop in price. I'm concerned about the music stopping, and it will stop. It just, I guarantee it.
All right, I think with that, we're going to wrap. I really want to thank all four of you for joining us and talking about all these issues. It's been fantastic.